Hello, welcome. The Reverend Steve Morris here. Thank you so much for listening to our talk today. It's great to have you here. And we are here on the Sunday, the 25th of October. The reading today is from Matthew. Obviously, last week we were back with good old Dr. Luke, but here we're back with Matthew. It's Matthew 21, beginning at 23. Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him. "By what authority are you doing these things?" they asked. "And who gave you this authority?" Jesus replied, "I will also ask you one question if you answer me. I will tell you by what authority I'm doing these things. John's baptism, where did it come from? Was it from heaven or from men?" They discussed it among themselves and said, "If we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say from men, we're afraid of the people, for they all hold that John was a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We don't know." And then he said, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." We then go on to the next parable, the parable of the two sons. "What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work today in the vineyard.' 'I will not,' he replied, but later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said to him, he answered, 'I will, sir,' but he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted?" "The first," they answered. Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him." I think this is really interesting in the age of fake news that we live in. There's become a massive mistrust, hasn't there, of what the truth is. People kind of a bit slidey about the truth. The idea is that we all have our individual truths, each of which truth has its own authority simply because we want it to be true or we feel that it might be true. This is a massive problem, of course, especially during a pandemic when, you know, the truth that we need is the one that might save our life. And I think this passage as well is wrestling with this issue of how to know the truth. And when we know it, what do we do with it? So, the first part is about Jesus questioned in the temple courts by the religious authorities, the most senior people in the religious establishment, and their job, they have a job, their job is to know who is God. Their job is to know by what authority God acts, and where to find God. So they should have been able to know that Christ was God, that Christ was who he said he was, who he came with the authority of the God who made the universe. They try, of course, to trip him up. It's rather interesting, isn't it? I mean, you know, Jesus seems to be an expert at this kind of flipping an argument, flipping it back to people and making them examine their own motives, their own truth. It's very neat because he manages actually to completely humiliate the people who are questioning him. They realise, in response to Jesus' question, that if they answer that John has authority and John has, as it were, passed on that authority to Jesus or has shown Jesus authority through his own words, then they'd have to acknowledge really who Jesus is. But if they don't, then that will be saying that John was wrong. And if that's the case, there might be a mini riot and they might get hurt. And so what they do is they say the very weak, "We don't know." The thing is, my guess is that they did know. But in the end, expediency said, "We cannot speak." And I wonder if there's something there about the call for us, obviously in gentleness, but to speak truth and to claim truth. I sincerely believe with my heart and my head that the ultimate authority is God, that Christ is 100% God, 100% person. And I looked to him, I looked to the power and beauty and majesty of the Trinity to shape my life, because I think that actually, when it comes down to it, it is the most intellectually, emotionally truthful way of understanding the big questions we have about ourselves. Why are we here? Where are we heading? What is life all about? I am called not to stay silent, but I'm equally called not to bombard people or make things worse. And that's a difficult pivot. Let's say something about the two sons. It's, again, rather challenging for the listeners. You've got these two sons, neither of whom really are particularly perfect, are they? I've heard it written that it should be called the parable of the two bad sons, because in a sense, they both were. The first one denies the authority of his father. He humiliates him, in fact, but does change his mind. The second says, oh yeah, I'll help in the vineyard, and then doesn't do what he says. Which of the two, asked Jesus, did what his father wanted? Well, in the end, of course, it is the one first, but not either of them did it first time. And that, in a sense, makes them very, very imperfect. What I like about this, really, is it shows, though, that we live with a God who understands imperfection and second chances. Sometimes when our faith runs very dry, We wonder what the truth is. But this seems to say to me that what we do is we need to be clear about what we believe, and our word needs to be our bond. There really is nothing worse than saying we're going to do something, especially for the kingdom, and then not doing it. Mouthing pious platitudes. We're called to live out this life of faith here. And that means not over-promising, but living up to our promises. It's a troubling parable in some ways, because there's no perfect answer to it. But what it makes me ask and question is how real I am in the great walk with God. And it calls on me, not to pretend to be more pious than I am, and in all humility, because I, like everyone else, are full of flaws, but to try as much as possible, to pray for as much as possible, to be as good as our word. I think it helps us to be much less rough with each other. It helps us to be much less critical, and simply to be the person that says, how can I help? Amen.